Dallas Theological Seminary's Chapel Podcast.
Occasionally when I'm out and about, I'm asked what I do for a living. And I say, well, I work at a place called Dallas Seminary. And the people kind of look at me like that. And they say, well, what do you do there? So, well, I love to teach people how to preach. And some of them, of course, stop the conversation right there and want to talk about something else. But many of them will say, oh, well, what is that like? And that just gives me an opportunity to talk about something that I enjoy the most, which is what it means to teach the Bible, to preach the Bible well. And I will usually say something about how it's such a challenge to be true to the text, relevant to the audience, interesting and clear all at the same time. And most of them will acknowledge that's a pretty big challenge. The people that you're hearing this week are four of your classmates, students who have demonstrated exceptional skills in doing just that. They're able to proclaim the scriptures in a way that is true to the text and relevant for people and clear and interesting, and it's a wonderful thing. None of them started their seminary careers 4 years ago thinking that they would aspire necessarily to speaking in chapel. And yet they consider themselves very blessed with the opportunity, and we are blessed to have them and encouraged to celebrate with them God's work in their lives as they have developed these skills. This morning we're going to hear from Philip Herbert. Philip is here with his wife Carrie, and I think Carrie's at you in the back. Glad to have you with us. They've been married for 7 years, and she's been a big part of Philip's education here. Philip comes from the good state of Georgia, and he did an engineering degree earlier at Georgia Tech before coming here to Dallas Seminary. And I asked him what he enjoyed most about being at DTS, and he went, well, I enjoy, yeah, he couldn't come up with anything. So I hope he enjoys graduating, which he plans to do very shortly. And then he's going to take on a one-year residency, chaplaincy residency, over at Baylor Hospital. So if you find yourself in the hospital soon, perhaps Philip can come and help minister God's grace to you. Join me in welcoming Philip Herbert to our pulpit this morning.
Well, it's an honor to be with you all here this morning. And before I get started, I just wanted to take a moment just to express my gratitude to DTS, to the professors on both sides of me, because being someone who 4 years ago came to this school having had no formal education, having never preached a sermon in my entire life, going through being educated here has given me a theological and ministerial foundation that I know will serve me well my entire ministry and life. So, thank you. Now, upcoming this graduation in a couple of weeks has actually reminded me of another graduation that I took part in many years ago. It was when I graduated from high school. See, I was so excited to be graduating from high school as well. It was time for me to take that next big step in my life to go to college. Of course, once I got to that point of transition, I did what many people do, and I began looking back. Remembering some of the people that I'd met, some of the lessons that I'd learned both inside the classroom and out, some of the things that I had experienced, when all of a sudden it hit me. I had virtually no pictures from my entire high school career. And I knew that while I remembered everything at that moment, there would be a time that would come where the memories would start to fade. The faces would get a little bit fuzzy. And I just did not want to forget these experiences that have been so important to my life. So I went to the store. I picked up 5 or 6 of those little disposable film cameras. I don't even know if these still exist today. But I picked up several of them, and I went around taking pictures of anything and everyone that I could think of because I didn't want to forget this valuable experience in my life. Now, it's easy for us to forget about our past valuable experiences when we get so busy living in the present and planning for the future. To those of you who are married today, how often do you think back to your wedding day? To that day where you stood at the altar and you promised to love your spouse in good times and bad, whether rich or poor. Yet what happens to so many couples is they begin to forget that a little bit. It begins to fade. And they forget that commitment that they made that day. They forget about the love and all the emotions that were wrapped up in that day. They forget about all the events that led them to it. And before they know it, if they continue down this downward spiral, they'll find themselves living in a loveless marriage, or perhaps even separated or divorced. See, they'd forgotten something. Now, I don't want to stand here today and say that the key to every marriage issue is just thinking back. That's too simplistic. But I think there is a strong correlation between periodic remembering and our present condition. You see, this marriage relationship, it only affects one relationship of our lives. But what if there was a type of forgetting that affected every area of our lives? We all remember when we first became Christians, that time in our lives where we first discovered that God wanted a relationship with us, and he extended this unconditional blessing to us in Christ. Oh, I was just blown away to think that God had done something like that for someone like me. Yet I also know that as we go through school, as we continue taking in knowledge about God, as we continue investing time and energy and effort into our ministries that we're trying to grow, as we try to juggle those schedules along with work and any other obligations we have going on in our lives, it's very easy for this past experience of God's unconditional blessing to sort of slip from the forefront of our minds. It has a tendency to get pushed off to the side. And when we push God off to the side, we're left in the middle. And when we're left, we become prideful. We become inwardly focused. We begin to quit depending on God. We see our ministry suffer. We start to feel like we actually deserve something, that we deserve to be treated in a certain way, that we deserve to do whatever we want with our time and our resources, that we deserve to have successful ministries. Anyone who's not on our mind gets pushed to the side. We'll quit making time for people. We'll see our relationships suffer. We'll see our ministries suffer. We'll see our relationships with God suffer. And we all know that when our relationships with God suffer, it impacts all areas of our lives. When we forget about the unconditional blessing that we've received from God, all aspects of our lives are touched. So how can we keep from forgetting this unconditional blessing that we've received from God? How can we remember being overwhelmed at receiving God's unconditional blessing? How can we keep from forgetting God's unconditional blessing to us? Well, in the passage we're going to look at today, we're going to see a picture, a prime example of someone who was shown unconditional blessing. And we're going to see how it reminded Israel both of what they were supposed to be and how they were supposed to act. We're going to look at a story today, and we're going to see two valuable lessons from it that we can take with us regarding remembering the unconditional blessing that we have received. Now, the nation of Israel was supposed to be a conduit of blessing from God to the nations. They were blessed to be a blessing, Genesis 12:3. But somewhere along the way, they forgot about that. They forgot about this unconditional blessing that God had shown them. And they grew inwardly focused and proud. Now, we're not sure exactly when the book of 2 Samuel was written. Many people think that it was written sometime after the division of the kingdom of Israel into the northern and southern kingdoms. We know that during this period in history, there arose many wicked kings in the land, and there were many aspects of society that were characterized by sin. So they were given this reminder, this picture that we'll see today of unconditional blessing that was poured out to remind them of what they had experienced from God, and to remind them what they were supposed to be. We're going to see the story this morning of a man who experienced unconditional blessing in his life. We're going to see the story of Mephibosheth. Now, Mephibosheth, when he was 5 years old, word spread quickly throughout the kingdom that his father, the heir to the throne, and his grandfather, the king, had both died in battle. And his nanny, fearing for his life, scooped him up and fled. But in her haste, she dropped him accidentally, breaking both of his legs. and without proper medical care, he grew up crippled and remained that way his whole life. He grew up crippled. He grew up in hiding. He grew up with nothing. He was without a home, without health, and without hope. Now fast forward with me, if you would, to 2 Samuel chapter 9. David had made a covenant with Jonathan that the Lord would be between their two households, that he would show kindness to Jonathan's house. And it's with this motivation that he asks in verse 1. And David said, "Is there anyone left of the throne of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now this word kindness is the Hebrew word chesed. You might see it translated in other places as loyal love or as loving kindness. And it captures the idea of the love that existed within that covenant relationship between David and Jonathan. Now this idea is further emphasized in verse 3, except it's given a small twist. In verse 3, and the king said, "Is there not still someone of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God to him?" Now we see this word kindness, this word chesed again, except this time it's the chesed of God. It's the love that existed between God and his covenant people that was often manifested in God's protection of the nation, in God's life-giving sustenance to the people, in God's overwhelming blessing to them. And I think it's with this type of overwhelming blessing that David wanted to pass along to someone in Saul's family. And Ziba, one of Saul's former servants, speaks up and says in verse 3, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He's crippled in his feet." In the next couple of verses, he goes on to describe Mephibosheth, saying that Mephibosheth is in a house down in a place called Lodabar. Now, I'm sure that his name alone spoke volumes to David, because the name Mephibosheth literally means from the mouth of shame. And the place where he was hiding, Lodabar, literally means nothing. He was shameful, living down in nothing. That's who he was. Yet David poured out to him unconditional blessing. In verse 7, we see that David gave to Mephibosheth all the lands that belonged to Saul. That was a lot of land. He gave Mephibosheth a position at his own table, treating him like a family member. In verse 10, we see that he gave him servants to take care of him and to take care of this land. In verse 12, we see the mention of Mephibosheth's son, Micah, alluding to the fact that his future was going to be secure. His lineage would continue. So David offered the overwhelming blessing to Mephibosheth of land, of position, of servants, and of a future. And Mephibosheth was understandably overwhelmed because he was receiving exactly what he did not deserve. And that's the first lesson that I really want us to see today about remembering unconditional blessing. Remembering unconditional blessing is overwhelmed with undeservedness. Remembering unconditional blessing is overwhelmed with unconditional, is overwhelmed with undeservedness. Excuse me. Now, Mephibosheth knew that he didn't deserve anything that he had received. Why was that? Well, Mephibosheth, number one, was from the rival house of Saul. Now, in that day, whenever a rival rose up and took over a throne, one of the first actions he would often do would be to kill everyone of his predecessor's household. That way, no one would be left that could exact revenge one day. So he was from a rival house. Secondly, Mephibosheth had nothing to offer. He didn't have any special abilities that we know of. He had nothing. He wasn't a valiant soldier. I mean, the kingdom wasn't enriched in any way because Mephibosheth was risen up to that position. He had nothing to offer. And lastly, Mephibosheth was crippled. Someone in that society who was crippled was seen as being cursed by God. He was seen as being an outcast. So Mephibosheth did not deserve any of those blessings that David poured out on him. And he knew it. he acknowledged it. Look at verse 8. And he, Mephibosheth, paid homage and said, "What is your servant that you should show regard for a dead dog such as I?" A dead dog. That's powerful language. "Who am I that you should show me this kind of blessing?" You see, I think this passage was a reminder to the nation of Israel of the unconditional blessing that they had received from God, because there was nothing special about them, but God chose them and he poured out to them unconditional blessing. And this story is here to remind them of that, to be a picture of that for them. Now, Mephibosheth had his own picture. All he had to do was look down at his legs. And when he saw his crippled legs, he saw several reasons why he was undeserving of this blessing that he had received. Now, you and I, we're a lot more like Mephibosheth than we'd like to admit. Because you and I at one time were enemies to God. Romans 5:8. God isn't enriched in any way by our being in a relationship with him. We have nothing to offer God. And we were actually worse than crippled. We were dead in our sins, according to Ephesians 2:1-7. But thank God that verse doesn't stop there. And we see in Ephesians 2:8-9 that we have been saved by grace through faith. And this salvation is a gift from God. This overwhelming, undeserved, unconditional blessing that we've received is a gift from God. And we must never lose sight of this. We must take a picture and put it up on our wall so that we can look at it and we can remember exactly how undeserving we are. See, this idea of remembering isn't new to Scripture. You look throughout the Old Testament, all the feasts that were celebrated were there to remind Israel specifically of something God had done for them. In the New Testament, the sacraments, one of the purposes of the sacraments is to remind those who partake of the Lord's Supper, those who see and take part in baptism, of exactly what Christ has done for them, exactly what kind of unconditional blessing they have received from him. Unfortunately, many of our churches don't practice these sacraments very regularly. And we need to have our own pictures of our undeservedness up on our walls so that we can remember where we've come from and who we are. Maybe for some of us, your picture of undeservedness could be Scripture. And Scripture is where you come to regularly to remind yourself of just how undeserving you are of this unconditional blessing you've received. For others of us, maybe your picture of undeservedness could be a regular event or a holiday that takes place, maybe something like Christmas. And yes, in Christmas, I'm talking about the incarnation, Jesus Christ coming down to this world, but I'm also talking about Santa Claus. Now, what did your parents tell you about Santa Claus when you were growing up? If you're good, Santa Claus is going to bring you gifts on Christmas morning. Well, let me ask, were you good? Was I good? I was all the time getting in arguments with my sister. I was getting in some kind of trouble. I was never keeping my room picked up, but I would always wake up on Christmas morning and I would walk out and I would see gifts. And it wasn't until much later that I realized that I was receiving exactly what I did not deserve. And Lord willing, my kids will one day as well, because there's a picture there, a picture to remember, a picture to teach. Remembering unconditional blessing is overwhelmed with undeservedness. But not only are we supposed to remember that we are undeserving recipients of this unconditional blessing, but we are also to extend it to the undeserving. That's the second lesson that I want us to see today. Remembering unconditional blessing extends it to the undeserving. Remembering unconditional blessing extends it to the undeserving. Now, from one vantage point, Israel could look at this story and they could see a picture of Mephibosheth and remember the unconditional blessing that they had seen and experienced in their lives. But I think if they look at this story from another perspective, they could look at David and they could see someone who functioned as one who had received unconditional blessing. You see, David, too, had experienced unconditional blessing that he didn't deserve. Back in 2 Samuel 7, God made the Davidic covenant with King David, promising to establish his house forever. And David was blown away. Look at his reaction in verse 18. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord and said, "Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that you have brought me this far?" You see, that sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? That sounds kind of like Mephibosheth in chapter 9. David had received what he didn't deserve. And I think in 2 Samuel 9, when he was seeking to show this overwhelming blessing to someone in Saul's house, I think he had in mind this overwhelming blessing that he had received, that he wanted to extend to someone else. Because that's part of the nature of unconditional blessing, is it is actually fulfilled when we extend it to others. Think about it. When we who have received unconditional blessing extend it to others, number one, we're blessed by the fact that we're used by God in someone else's life to bless them unconditionally. So we're blessed in that way. Secondly, we're blessed in that when we look in their faces, the faces of those to whom we offer this blessing, oftentimes we see our scars, we see our pasts, we see our backgrounds, because many of them have come from the same place that we did. And we see a reminder of just how high God has lifted us up and where he has brought us from in our lives. Now, some of you sitting out there today might be in complete agreement with this. Yes, I need to extend unconditional blessing to the undeserving. But you might be saying, "You don't know my schedule. You don't know my life. You don't know what I've got going on right now." And you're right, I don't. But I would plead with you, do not forget the unconditional blessing that you have experienced in your life. You must remember that. I would challenge you to look for the opportunities that God has brought before you, that God brings into your path. If you're not sure where to start, I would say, ask yourself what makes you feel undeserving. And whatever it is that makes you feel undeserving could be the avenue through which you can extend unconditional blessing to the undeserving. When I look back at my past, I see someone who was a child of divorced parents. I see someone who, as a young child, was verbally abused by a former stepfather of mine. I see someone who grew up with very little, if any, self-confidence. I see someone who had a void within him that he tried to fill with friends, with partying, with any other means that I could find that ultimately didn't satisfy until God filled that void in college for me. And when I graduated from college and I was seeking to get plugged into a church, I got plugged into the high school and college department, and I was able to connect with students who were struggling with issues of self-confidence, who were struggling with the divorce of their parents, students who were trying to fill a void in their lives with things that ultimately wouldn't satisfy them. And I tried to offer unconditional blessing to them. Now, I didn't have many resources to offer, but I befriended them. I spent time with them. I got to know them. I would invest in them. I would share my faith with them. And I would try not to worry about who I thought might or might not be deserving. I would just try to be faithful to whoever God brought in my path. And I would extend unconditional blessing to them because I was someone who had received it myself. Remembering unconditional blessing extends it to the undeserving. So how do I keep forgetting God's blessing, God's unconditional blessing that he's given to me? I remind myself, I remember that I am an undeserving recipient of God's unconditional blessing, and I seek to extend it to the undeserving. Now, I mentioned an aspects of my past a minute ago. When I was in high school, I met a guy named Steve. Steve was about 20 years older than me, and I'd met him through a job that I'd recently started at a wellness facility. Steve was someone who had had a pretty wild past, but he was someone who had been touched by God's unconditional blessing in his life, and he sought to extend it to others. Steve was a busy guy. He was a married father of two. His kids were in middle school and high school. He had a lot going on, but he took a special interest in me. He befriended me. He would take me out to lunch. He would take me camping with him. He got to know me. Steve became a strong male influence in my life when I didn't have one. As someone who had received unconditional blessing, he extended it to me, and I didn't deserve it. And God willing, I hope and pray that I get those kind of opportunities in the future, and I hope you do too. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, God, we are amazed and in awe of the unconditional blessing that you have bestowed on us in Christ. God, I pray that our priorities would never shift, that we would never push you to the sidelines, God, but that we would have ways to remember the blessing that you have shown to us that we don't deserve, and that you would give us opportunities to extend that blessing to others. God, we love you, and we want to be a part of what you're doing in this world. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.